Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm with me. great start. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't catch yesterday's, it's still hanging out for you over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan, we man by three.
Realizing I can't read and talk at the same time, which is probably a bad thing for me today, but, you know, that's just kind of happen. So, you know, Dan, I ran into a little bit of a problem, and I know you're not a gigantic football guy with the exception of our fantasy league, but, you know, after the scouting combine, there were apparently some negative reports that came out about Kyler Murray, and Charlie Casserly is the guy in the NFL Network who was reporting these. Now, yesterday, Murray's agent, whose name escapes me, came out with just basically a full frontal, fully loaded, whatever you want to call it, assault on Charlie Casserly. And, obviously, I don't have a problem with a client, an agent defending his client. I mean, that's part of his job. My only biggest issue, and, you know, it just drives me nuts when they go at this, Dan, is – of course, he played the race card. You know, Kyler Murray's a black quarterback. You know, this has been a stigma in the NFL for a long time, almost regardless of how much success black quarterbacks have had recently. Nobody seems to want to let this go. And then when race immediately gets into a story, you no longer know what's going on. The story no longer becomes important. It's the race that becomes important. And I guess what I'm baffled on, and I kind of hope you can help clear up for me, Dan, is Charlie Casserly didn't say these things about Kyler Murray. These were relayed to him from, you know, people inside the team. So why did they decide to – did they attack Casserly because he's the face on national television saying it? Or just because they don't have the other names and he's the only name attached to it?
I think that's the biggest part of it. He's the only name they can go after.
Yeah, you know, because oddly, you know, they forgot to mention the fact that the same thing happened with Baker Mayfield last year. And pretty much any time a quarterback is considered going number one, this kind of stuff happens. Of course, with Baker Mayfield, they left out the fact that he's a white guy. His race wasn't important, but for some reason Kyler Murray's is, and that, you know, that always drags everything down for me because, you know, we have enough problems with, you know, race in this country as it is. No matter how hard we try, we can't seem to get past it. And I don't like when they throw it in like this because, you know, no damn team said, well, because he's a black quarterback, he has poor scouting, he has poor study habits, which was one of the things that were reported on him. There was a team that didn't apparently like his study habits. You know, all they said was, well, we believe he has poor study habits. But immediately they equated it to him being black. You know, why in the hell does the media or his agent or somebody, you know, did they make the the leap to get attention, or why else is that the first thing they gravitate to?
I think because it's the NFL. It's the biggest, you know, issue.
Oh, you're fading a little. Did your Bluetooth come out?
No, I said it's the NFL. It's the biggest issue in the league, race.
Yeah, I said, it was just one of the things that, you know, that drives me crazy. And, I've been in the side who doesn't think Kyler Murray is going to be a star NFL player like a lot of people do. You know, now it looks like the Cardinals are actually going to take them number one and screw their franchise up a little more than it already is. But, you know, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I just don't. You know, I'm not buying him as the next Russell Wilson, which is, you know, you got to remember Wilson was a third, or maybe, you know, I think it was a third round. So, you know, he didn't have as much to prove. You go number one, you're just going to walk into a situation where he's going to be asked to start. I think the only other quarterback on the card roster is Glennon, and I don't think they're going to go there. I don't know how much, you know, how much success we're going to see out of you know, Murray. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but like I said, I mean, the game I saw him play were against, you know, the better competition in college football, and he just looked that good. But, again, I don't have the insight that these guys have. It's just kind of, you know, to me it was just kind of stupid that they actually tried to turn this into like a race war. You know, well, because he's black, he can't do this, he can't do that. No, that's not what they said. No, that's not what they said. But you're going to push your agenda this way. I mean, it's not going to change the Cardinals' mind drafting him at all. They're still going to take him. Yeah, I don't know. Just one of those things kind of irked me. So, because I'm weird like that. So, you know, and then I did see locally here, I just want to see the Bears are attempting to trade Jordan Howard.
For who? Or for where?
Oh, I'm sure they'll probably get draft picks at some point, but, you know, it looks like, you know, he'll probably be gone by draft and see where there. And I know you got a kick. You know, the Bears did sign a new field goal kicker because Cody Parkey's released here in about 4 days when the season officially starts. Did you happen to see this guy's name, Dan? Because it's got to be perfect for a field goal kicker.
I heard it, but I forgot it already.
Yeah, they had a field day with it on Twitter yesterday. The first time a kicker by the name of Chris Lewitt. So there you go. Yeah, apparently he has no professional experience, but he was with them. I don't remember if it was 2017 or last year. He was one of the mini. So he apparently is the guy to take Cody Parkey, unless they bring in some competition for him. You know, we'll see. But yeah, you couldn't have had a better move for a field goal kicker, could you?
No, especially not for the Bears, considering what happened last year.
So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting how that worked out. But yeah, that's just kind of my football rant there for a little bit. I was kind of bothered by that. So just one of those odd things. But the thing I wanted to talk to you about yesterday, and I found it kind of interesting, is, you know, Bryce Harper has pretty much come out and said that for the next season, spend the next 2 years recruiting Mike Trout to Philadelphia. To no surprise, the Angels had a bit of an issue with this. I guess baseball has agreed to, I guess I'm going to speak with Harper, is what I believe I deciphered out of the situation. Obviously, you know, there's no way they're going to suspend him or anything. But do you see, I don't know, would they actually fine him? Or do you think there's any penalty that he can down with this?
No, I think they should just fine him. You know, he knows he's screwed up.
And I mean, do you have a whole half?
I didn't hear you.
I said, do you have as a whole have any problems doing this?
Not really, but he shouldn't have. You know, I mean, it's not like
he
got his agent and sat down with him, took him out to dinner.
Well, you know, he might when they go, you know, if they go any Angels or anything, go out, get you know, dinner, see what's going on, you know.
Yeah,
maybe
tamper
a little bit.
You can't, you know, talk about what they didn't do yet.
Well, we could. Everybody else seems to. Make stuff up, like, seems like a lot of good chunks of the media. Anyway. So.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Big Poppy kind of got in trouble for doing it. As will he.
You know, I don't know. Do you see a possible fine?
I mean, anything's possible, isn't it?
You know, well, I mean, again, it's going to be one of those things where it sounds good, like they fight Anthony Davis $50,000, so you realize this year, you know, is it going to be one of those deals where they, you know, Bryce Harper can find $10,000, but he's making, you know, whatever, well, you know, whatever it ends up being this year.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think they should either suspend him a game or just fine him a flat amount.
So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, this is kind of what sports has turned into, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think Harper just kind of got caught up in the moment, and then, you know, add to the fact that it's well widely known that Mike Trout's a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
So yeah, that's kind of, you know, it was kind of fun. Obviously, you don't blame him, and I'm sure Harper's not the only one going to be, you know, willingly recruiting Mike Trout. So, you know, he's just the one. I guess I should say he's the one who was willing to admit that he was going to be recruiting Mike Trout.
No, I mean, I don't think you'd have anybody who would not admit to it. It's just the fact that, you know, like he said, he should have left that comment to somebody as opposed to saying it outright. But, you know, like I said, I think he was caught up in the excitement of, you know, the first press conference and all that good stuff with the team.
In Mike Trout's free agency, he was excited. Oh, so, you know. Well, he did say DC in his first.
Yeah, but why would they be asking him about that? And his press conference that has nothing to do with that. So, I mean, like I said, I think he just got caught up in the moment. I mean, like I said, it's well publicized that Mike Trout's an Eagles fan. So why wouldn't the perfect land Philadelphia Phillies?
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Obviously, it's been mentioned how many times that, you know, if he was to reach free agency, Philadelphia would be going after him very hard. So, you know, it's not that there's a lot of news there. It's just Harper was the one who said it, so that's what got him, you know, got him in trouble. So, but yeah, and then we had I don't know if you caught this one, but the Yankees have apparently shut Luis Severino down for a couple weeks because he had some, I think it was described as shoulder discomfort. I'll have to double check the diagnosis there. But yeah, they were talking about that, and then it was kind of odd that immediately, and I guess maybe it's just because it's the Yankees. Yeah, they said shoulder inflammation. The immediate response from like every single media member that I saw, and it was probably upwards of 7 or 8 people I saw report on this. Their immediate response is, "Oh well, the Yankees should just go sign Dallas Keuchel." You know, Dan, I always kind of chuckle at this because I get this a lot from, you know, Dave Kaplan, who's a gigantic tool bag here locally when it comes to signing guys. It's just so easy to spend everybody else's money, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, yeah, well, hey, yeah, just go out and spend that. You know, oh, who cares what he wants? Go sign him. So, you know, it was like, really? You know, can we at least see if there's something wrong? You know, maybe they, you know, do they have a young guy who could fill in? You know, obviously they don't have Sonny Gray anymore, but, you know, I mean, if it's just inflammation, it's, you know, it's not like it's season threatening, or it shouldn't be unless there's damage inside. So, yeah, I just thought it was strange that immediately it's like, oh, yeah, they're the Yankees. They can just sign Dallas Keuchel, even though the Yankees really haven't been like that for a couple years. You know, I mean, if you look at the guys they've acquired, it's really been through trades. You know, they got Stanton in a trade, they got J.A. Hop in a trade. You know, if you want to throw Luke Voit in there, it's been fantastic for him. They got him in a trade. So, you know, I mean, they've been, you know, guys like that, Gleyber Torres. You know, I mean, what was their big free agent signing this year, DJ LeMahieu or Troy Tulowitzki, I guess, depending on who you ask. So, I don't know. Is it just because it's the Yankees and all these guys are old like me and they're used to them just going out and buying whatever they want?
I think that's pretty much it.
So, you know, yeah, because I thought that was kind of interesting. But I guess, you know, opinion-wise for you, with what you know about the situation, do they, should they sign, you think they should sign Keuchel?
I mean, I kind of thought they should have regardless. Even if he didn't have these issues, I thought they should have in the beginning of off season.
I actually thought he would have been a better signing than bringing J.A. Hop back, but they seem to like Hop, mm-hmm. And he does pitch well for them. Of course, obviously, Hop cost them a lot less. You know, I would be interested to know now if, you know, if Keuchel's demands have changed. They are reporting that he actually, even though I think it was earlier in the week, the Astros denied having any interest in him. Apparently, they have actually, the report here says, have made multiple offers. Including 1 and 2 year scenarios. So they're not willing to go the years he's looking for. The other note here says the Phillies also remain interested on a short-term deal. You see him dialing back his demands now, considering we're 21 days away from the season actually starting, because I'm not counting those 2 games in Japan.
No, I think it'd be hard-headed.
Yeah, you think he's going to try to stay with the 5 or 6?
Yeah, I think he's going to try to stay with the 5.
You know, so yeah, that would be, you know, yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see him go back to Houston because, you know, they do have, you know, Verlander and Cole right at the top, so he could slide in at number 3 there where there wouldn't be much pressure. My guess is, I think Brad Peacock is the guy they're thinking of as number 5. He would probably go back to the 5th spot, or whoever would win that 5th spot would be the guy who gets either bumped to the bullpen or shipped to AAA. It would be interesting if the Yankees were to sign up would they? You know, I mean, it's not like they could dump CC in the bullpen or hop in the bullpen or, you know, anything like that. You have to try to actually in rotation that I would hate so much.
No, you'd get over it.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would. Besides, I mean, think about their starting rotation, all those guys.
You know, think about what it would do to my fan, and they wouldn't restart. Wouldn't get the inning. Hey, I need a starter who can make two starts a week.
I mean, how often? You've got approximately 6 months of baseball, right? So if you had all those guys and you technically had a six-man rotation, what are the odds that it goes more than a full 30 days that all six men are healthy at the same time? Or for that matter?
Yeah, he's had his issues, and he is last year. So you got to wonder what's there. Tanaka has had his health issues.
They'd be in a better position to take advantage of that the 15-day DL that they put together.
One of those interesting things would be that wonderful.
Think about it. You get a little shoulder inflammation and you put them on the 15-day and then you still have five solid starters.
Yeah, you get 2 weeks off. So, maybe rotate the guys. Guys could continue 15 days and the new guy goes on round.
I think you would do the 6 day at least twice, getting closer to the All-Star break. And then when you have those, in June, July, and August, when they're making up all the rain delays for me.
Yeah, see, you've given this way too much thought. I don't know.
The funny thing is I just thought of that right now. So, imagine if I was in the front office.
that makes me sad that man rotation. I just hate it so much. I really think they should be going with four guys and men and learn how to. That's the. Just terrible. But that's going to be. So, but while I am thinking about it, we do have a couple fantasy leagues with some openings. I know we had one full league, but there was a lovely guy who posted on our message that he wanted to concentrate on the stupid league he has after he agreed to join our league. And oddly, when I opened it, apparently there were other guys who wanted out because I opened the league up to get rid of his team, and a couple other people left. So we do have some openings in both our leagues. They are 20 team leagues. It is free. We just do it for fun. So you have bragging rights. Run them through Yacht. If you're interested in playing, just email us sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. I'm sure Dan would be the one to go on and send you the league. Again, it is free. We do it just have a good time. But let us know if you're interested. Again, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, and we'll ship you the rank, the link, and you can join for free.
Hey, what was the complaint about the league? Was the draft was too soon?
Which, the guy who was leaving?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, he posted that he had his own league and he wanted to focus on that, so he needed to quit our league to focus on his league. And then he kept sending me emails about joining his league. okay, thanks. So, yeah, it was like, great. So, yeah, I went in and I left the league because I didn't figure it would take long to get one team. Signed up, and I was like, oh, okay, we got our 20th team. I went on, and he was the 18th team. So apparently after I opened the league, two more guys left. So I it was just kind of like, okay. But I didn't see, didn't get any messages from them. So it was just two guys, I guess, who, I don't know, maybe decided they didn't like the setup, or like you said, maybe the draft, I don't think the draft could soon, but I guess maybe... I know there are guys who like to do it the day before the season starts, which obviously doesn't work for us. But, yeah, we looks like we're up to 19 in what is our league lead, and then we're up to 17 in our auction lead. So we still have some spots, like I said, if you're interested. So, yeah, you know, ship us off that email, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, and we'll get it right out to you, and you can join for free.
Now, I do have to ask you a question. What made you go with the earlier draft this year?
They wanted to include two games from Japan because I was trying to remember who I was talking to, but they were saying if you didn't include them, it would devalue all the Mariners and A's players because they would have two less games. So, you know, it was just one of those things. So I had to, you know, I had to put the draft before those games, which are, what are they, I think it was the 21st and the 22nd. And the 21st there. And, you know, obviously we need to do it on a weekend because with the length of them, you know, you can't go, you know, I mean, I had to go to work and I don't want to do that. And obviously you have a job and Mr. Fantasy has a job, and I'm guessing the majority of the people in our league have jobs that they have to do. So, yeah, you know, who wants to be up till, you know, that afternoon when you go to work? So I figured that was the best scenario to do it on the weekend, just get a little early.
Now, I don't know if my ears deceive me, or since I'm wearing a Bluetooth and only one ear, I know I sent out immediately to Mr. Fantasy as soon as you opened them up. Did he actually sign up for both?
Yes, he did. He did sign up very quickly.
Yeah, because it was like immediately when I sent him the emails, I believe like that night or that morning or the next day, he was all on board.
So, yeah, I was, I honestly thought for sure that we weren't going to see him after, you know, not playing last year. I was kind of like, well, this will be kind of his exit strategy. He's registered both. He was one of the first guys to sign up after I sent the email out. So, yeah, we will. Obviously the difference between something up drafting and then actually managing can be two different things. But we'll see. we'll see how that goes. You know, he does get a little distracted from time to time.
Well, you know, that start him off for the week button doesn't always work for everybody.
Yeah. So we'll we'll see how things work out. Hopefully we'll be an active contributor to whatever end up happen. But yeah, are you excited yet? Been setting up all your research. How many mock drafts have you done?
I actually didn't do any this year.
No, well, you still have time. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but if you're gonna do them, I got to do 25 in each league because I want those medals.
Hey, start it then.
So we'll see. Maybe I'll do some, but I mean, I don't know. When it comes to baseball, I don't know. I just pick the guys that I like, I guess. Not so much that I like, but, you know, I know my categories better. I just know the game a whole hell of a lot better than the other two sports. Or three sports.
So, you know, yeah, with the way my basketball teams and hockey teams are going this year in fantasy, you would think I wouldn't know anything about them. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I like the game of hockey, like watching it, but I don't know. I don't know about the fantasy, really into those or not.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is, like, I really enjoy doing it, but, God, I am just, for whatever reason, I am so bad at it this year. I thought I had a really good draft, but obviously I was wrong because, man, my team stinks. So,
Yeah, well, you know, and, like, you know, the other hard thing.
You know, we saw a football team to being bad. That's nothing new. So.
Yeah. Well, and the hard thing, too, is with the lack of goalies available. So it makes it less fun when you have guys on and the other teams, you know, draft like six goalies and be ridiculous.
Yeah, that was, you know, that's the first time that's ever happened. I thought that was really weird that, you know, yeah, it was like he for whatever reason, I guess he thought he was going to be able to make a lot of trades or something, but I don't think he did. So I don't know, is he still carrying?
I don't know. You know, I just wish, you know, the Yahoo had a separation. You know, you have the separation for the top and the bottom, and that, you know, you can only have so many bench position players and bench goalies. Granted, I ended up with four, but I don't even think one of them actually played.
Yeah, I'm looking here, and he's still carrying five goalies.
Yeah.
A couple of them are backups, so I don't know how much help they actually are to his team. But, you know, I guess whatever, whatever works out for him, But, yeah, sadly, I am sitting in 12th place, so it doesn't look like I am going to find my way into the playoffs this year. I believe I've made the playoffs every year we've had the league. You know, I think the first year I went to the finals and got beat. But this year, yeah, no dice for me here. I'm not having much of a year. I'm going to need a bounce back near year next year to recover. So,
and I don't think I'm any farther north or south of you in that.
Yeah, and then, you know, basketball, I'm in 10th. I'm actually a position ahead of you. You're in 11. So you're really having a bad year if I'm ahead of you. So, yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of sniffing around there because I got to get to 8, but I'm going to run out of time, I think, before I can actually find my way into a playoff spot, unless I have one of those. You know, I would need a week where I was playing one of the two to just kind of quit and, you know, racked up like a 20 something to get there. I don't think that's going to happen. So,
I'll be honest, I kind of quit. I still changed my lineup, but.
Yeah, you know, this was the first year in basketball where I really suffered the injuries like I did, you know, fantasy-wise. I mean, you know, at one point in time, I had a full IR and my bench was all injured. So I literally had just my lineup playing. I couldn't make any changes. So, you know, I was like, go get them, guys. But yeah, hopefully, I'll keep plugging away. I still enjoy playing. You know, I make sure I change my roster and keep everything going. And I did get a triple double with Bijan Rondo the other night, so that was fun.
Yay. You know, but he was the problem in Chicago.
Yeah, I know. Well, he was the problem last night in Los Angeles. If you didn't see it, he literally sat in the first row of the stands at one point in time to stay away from his teammates. So, you know, but they did get blown out by the Nuggets, and humorously, a lot of people seem to forget that because LeBron passed Michael Jordan on the scoring list. So, it didn't
well,
matter.
What's the better lead story? What would you rather talk
about? You know, it didn't matter that they lost again and they're even farther out of the playoffs because LeBron passed Michael Jordan and that's all that matters. And I was like, okay, you know. I don't want to.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as the way the league goes now, stuff like that, you know, with the records aren't really that impressive. You know,
no,
I mean, for who he is, he should have passed him already. I mean, he's played, you know, how many more years than Jordan did? He didn't take 3 years off to go try and play with the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, you know, he's been playing since he's, you know, 18. I believe this is his 19th year in the league. So, you know, you would assume, I would assume that he was past it already, but,
yeah.
I guess not. So, but yeah, it was kind of like, oh, okay, here you go. He's, look, he moved into third, and you know, they got blown out by the Nuggets last night, but it doesn't matter because he moved into third. So,
yeah.
Or actually, fourth.
But
now.
So there's a couple of jackasses on our local radio that's like, shut him down. Season, wave the white flag, shut him down, shut him down, shut him down. And if I were in the studio with this guy who was apparently also had on The Bachelor in the background. So, yay, Chicago Radio, your sports guy is watching The Bachelor while he's supposed to be broadcasting and just talking about shutting LeBron down. I personally would probably have punched him. I don't know if I would have punched him in the face. Granted, if you do that, you know, he's radio, so no one will see it. But he would have definitely got a Bangkok or something like that. Because it's like, come on now. I really wanted to call in or tweet, but I forgot who the other host was. And be like, you know, you say that now, but what if you were somebody who paid, you know, like me, over $200-some to take your kid who wants to see LeBron James play? And the league just like, shut him down. You know, I just really wanted to punch that guy in the face. He's one of the guys who's not really, you know, he's like a producer. He gets his on-air time when, you know, other guys call off or, you know, get assigned to a real job thing, you know, get sent away. I really wanted to punch him in the face, but I was glad to see. I saw it earlier, and then I saw you posted it on our website. I wanted to see what you kind of your thoughts on it. They're going to limit LeBron, so I don't have an issue with that. What were your thoughts on it? And I'll be back.
You know, I mean, at this point, I really just don't care. Because they're not talking about what they should be talking about, and it just doesn't matter to me because they seem like no matter what happens, they're not willing to blame any of this on LeBron James. You know, none of this is his fault. It's the coach's fault or the young guy's fault or, you know, Magic's fault or Jeannie Buss's fault or Rob Pelinka's fault. And for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's the fact that I'm watching too much of the Mickey Mouse Network and they just got too much money invested, nobody's willing to say, well, what about this guy who, you know, is supposed to be the greatest player of all time, according to some of you, but can't lead this group even into the playoffs, not so much to a championship. And it's not like there's no talent on the team. I mean, I just mentioned Rajon Rondo had a triple-double the other night. You know, Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram are really quality young players. Lonzo Ball is sufficient enough as well when he's healthy, and I know he's missed a lot of games, to be a complementary piece here as a point guard. But yet, you know, nobody's willing to say, well, you know, this is why it fell apart because, you know, LeBron would rather play with Anthony Davis than the guys he's got. Well, yeah, there's a lot of guys who would rather play with Anthony Davis than the guys they got, but they don't express it like James does. So, granted, if I would have been the young guys on his team, I would have probably cornered him in the locker room and said, hey, jerk, what are you doing selling us out? You know, because he wanted them all gone to get Davis. But I don't know. It's just one of those fun things that they do. So, you know, and now Dan, while I know you were about as excited as LeBron passing Michael Jordan as I was, now your guy Dirk is only 55 points behind Wilt Chamberlain for sixth place. Are you going to be more excited when Dirk goes past him? Oh, Dan must have needed his break. We'll have to save that till he gets back because I thought that was pretty interesting there that his guy is right there sneaking up on Wilt, and he should be able to get there this year. There's enough games left in the Magic season for him to catch up. But I don't know. You know, I mean, I haven't heard if he's coming back. You know, I don't think he's announced his retirement. So, you know, I mean, if he was to come back one more year, he could, you know, he would have a chance to catch Michael as well. So, you know, that could, you know, could be kind of something to look at there. And I'm trying to find out how many games did Dirk end up playing this season, because I know he missed some at the beginning. There he is. He's playing 33 games this year. So, and he is, he's only averaging 13 minutes a game. I'm a little surprised by that. I thought he was playing more than that. So, maybe he won't get to wilt this year unless he has a couple of big games. So, we'll have to see. But yeah, in case you're wondering, Kareem is at the top. You know, he's at 38,387 points. Then you got Karl Malone at 36,928. Kobe would be next for LeBron, so that would be interesting. He's at 33,643. So, and then, you know, obviously LeBron is fourth, Michael's fifth, Wilt is sixth. Dirk, the only other active player up there at seven. Shaq is eight, Moses Malone nine, and Elvin Hayes rounds out the top ten. The next active guys you find, they still list Carmelo as active. I guess technically he is. He's down at 19, and Vince Carter is at 20. So that's where you sit there with that. But have to see where it goes. Yeah, I didn't realize you had to go take your break. I wanted to know. I was saying that you know, your guy Dirk is only 55 behind Wilt Chamberlain to move into sixth all time. You're going to be more excited about that than LeBron passing Jordan?
Nah, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, Nowitzki's been playing basketball since, you know, the Mavericks were put together, right?
Well, no, actually, Dirk, I think, you know, Dirk may have the same length of career or maybe even a little longer than LeBron. Remember, I think he slipped it a little late. So, you know, because he played in Europe for a while. So I don't think he started as an 18-year-old. Oh. I'll have to double-check that.
I mean,
that.
It's still, you know, for both guys, it's a pretty big accomplishment. But at the same time, I don't know. It's when you're always doing the Jordan-LeBron comparison, and I guess I'm just getting tired of it because – LeBron is on his own, technically, in this era. And that's where I think you need to start separating. And, you know, the Jordan era, so to speak, is a completely different game than today. You know, well, the Warriors would have never won crap in that era. But, you know, if you were to put those kids to be brought up the way they were in that era, I don't, you know, maybe it would have worked. I don't know. But you can't just say, oh, it wouldn't work then. Well, no, it wouldn't, because the game was completely different. So that's where I just kind of get tired of all the, like, the Jordan-LeBron comparisons. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Jordan set the bar. And LeBron's forever trying to pass it. And I think the only thing, you know, the thing for me, though, is, and I told my nephew this, who, you know, followed LeBron since you know, before he was in the NBA, because he lived, you know, in the area, so to speak. He gave a couple hundred mile radius of where LeBron was playing high school and whatnot. And, you know, and I forget, I think, you know, Pippen came out and said it, but it's, yeah, at the end of the day, what killed it for me with LeBron is the attitude. And he's got that prototypical millennial type attitude. Yeah. You know, I'm sure, you know, the Bulls, Jordan and that company, they all got, you know, fights with each other and things like that. But some of the stuff, and I told my nephew, I was like, dude, I go, you had me bought into it when he was down in Miami. I was supposed to hate him like everybody else. And I go, and I went to Miami, you were there with me. We seen the game and I was like, holy crap, this, you know, this atmosphere, watching LeBron play live was just something else. You know, I never got to see Jordan play. So it was something. It was something to see LeBron play. And then I'm getting all in and sucked into it. You remember Big Jack and that last finals with the Spurs and the Heat, and LeBron has to be carried off the court by his teammates because of a leg cramp. And, you know, and then the poutiness where he sits, you know, makes sure that there's six seats between he and the rest of his teammates. You know, do you wonder why Kyrie didn't want to go to work with him every day?
Yes. Oh, no, I don't, actually.
But you know what I mean? It's little things like that, and I think that's what gets me with him is I will never be that 100%, you know, LeBron supporter. I think he's made some accomplishments, but I also think that, you know, it was all right place, right time. And, you know, like you've always brought up, and I think Charles Barkley and that generation has brought up was, while the Yankees always bought teams, that's kind of what LeBron did, didn't he? He bought his championships by
pretty much
essentially, you know, in a roundabout way, colluding without colluding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, colluding, I think tampering would probably be a better term. You know, I mean, they recruited each other, you know, Wade and LeBron and Bosh, you know, they all, you know, I guess, schemed would be the way to put it, to play together.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and, you know, and the hardest thing, and I think this is what the old guys, that generation kind of forget about, though, is like when they were coming up, the game, not only the game, the NBA game and the bringing up of the NBA stars isn't anything like it is today. I mean, you go back with the Curry kids and, you know, this whole generation, I mean, while, you know, we always talk about LeBron and his super friends, well, why did that happen? It's because they all played together as kids. You know, they kind of grew up together. You know, you got the best guy here, best guy, they all get put together on teams. They get thrown into Ronald McDonald. They get thrown in all these big tournaments where they all become friends. So, you know, that's where some of that, I think a lot of that comes from. I do think with the way the game goes, you can turn that friendship off, and while you may love him on the court, you may want to punch him in the face, or love him off the court, you may want to punch him in the face when he's on the court, right? Isn't that what we were taught in wrestling?
Yeah. Well, you know, that, I think the most, you know, embarrassing thing about LeBron's career is the fact that he was in Miami for 4 years and they could only produce two championships with that team. You know, there's absolutely no reason that team shouldn't have won every year he was there.
Yeah.
You know, they had
especially that last year.
Yeah, they had what was three of probably the top 10 players in the league. You know, in him, Wade, and Bond, and you got two titles out of it. You know, and while that's an accomplishment in itself, the Warriors already, you know, they have three in the last 4 years. It looks like they're on the road to get another one. So, you know, they're cashing in their opportunities. Let's face it, in reality, the Warriors should have four in a row. You know, the refs did a nice job of helping in Cleveland get that one. I mean, Steph Curry stumbles into foul trouble. Great Draymond Green has to miss a game because of technical. So, yeah, I mean, to be honest, with the NBA and this kind of stuff is on. We all know it, but there aren't a bunch of people willing to admit it. So...
Yeah, well, sadly, you can't admit it because of gambling. It has nothing to do. It has absolutely nothing to do with the integrity of the game. It has more so to do with gambling.
You know, but yeah, you know, I mean, it's clear that, you know, it's clear that they had an agenda. You know, I get it. You know, I mean, like, you know, it's just like you look at the NBA draft with some of the things that's happened, and we've been over it before here. You know, guys magically end up going with the number one pick to the place they played or the place they grew up, even though that team didn't have very good odds of winning the lottery. Somehow they won the lottery. Hey, all right.
Yeah.
So... you know, I get it. You're doing, you know, in reality, they're doing what's best for business. And, you know, for them, that's what it's all about. You know, they need to make money, and they go about making money however they need to do it.
I don't know. I still think that it would be a bigger deal, bigger accomplishment to have the Warriors with four straight. And well, even if they just gave them last year to the Cavaliers, I think the three straight, including the best record in NBA history, would have just put a cap on it. You know, and then you could have gave it to the Cavaliers last year.
You know, I think they wanted the, you know, to set everything up as, you know, well, this is the best of three now. You know, each team has won one, and what's going to happen, you know, the third time we meet, you know, all that stuff for, you know, media purposes. So,
like
but,
a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, it's right, exactly like a pay-per-view. I mean, it's interesting now because, you know, the Lakers, who are five games under 500, seem to be the team that's getting all the press, even though we're coming down the stretch here in the NBA, and, you know, the Bucks actually have the best record. Believe it or not, the Bucks and Toronto have better records than Golden State, which nobody would have ever thought happened, you know, would be happening, but, you know, you don't hear a lot of talk about this. I mean, it's dominated by the Lakers and how they're not going to make the playoffs and how it's everybody's fault but LeBron, and, you know, Luke Walton's going to be out of a job, and, you know, they're finally going to trade for Anthony Davis in the offseason, and, you know, it's just, it's weird that you have other talent and other things out there to talk about, but yet this is the focus, and we're really not even talking about the playoffs.
Kind of. Talking about how the Lakers aren't going to be in it.
Right.
Can't forget
that's
about
all you hear. That's the only playoff mention. Yeah, well, the Lakers won't be in it. So.
Well, and I mean, doesn't it just kind of prove, going all the way back around to the beginning, that LeBron came up with a team that needed to be built, and they weren't able to do it. And he went somewhere, he put it together, he let Cleveland take themselves out where, oh, wow, they had the, you know, number one draft pick like 10 years in a row. And then because of all the, you know, Andrew Wiggins and some of those draft picks, they were able to move that stuff around, build this juggernaut, so to speak, around LeBron in Cleveland. They win one. He screws them over by making them sign everybody to long-term deals and then, you know, jump ship. And now, you know, he's left to essentially put a team in the playoffs that I still think could have been, but, you know, it's just more proof that one man can't run the whole team.
Well, you know, it's more that, you know, players should play, you know, not try to be the team.
Well, yeah, that too.
So, you know, but, all right, I did not forget. We're coming down to the wire here, and it is Thursday. So, you know, we only got a couple weeks left of doing this. We're going to do this till baseball season. So we've got Dan's, hopefully, sports movie pick for the weekend. What do you have today? And Venom's not
well,
a
you know, speaking of baseball, I actually watched this a couple of weeks ago, and I totally blanked on it. I think it was one of those weeks where I said I didn't watch a movie when I actually did.
Yeah.
And you'll know why. This has a purely, but almost, you know, a big-time SNL cast. And we'll start off with Rob Schneider and David Spade. Do you know where I'm going with this? And the third guy in your movie, he eats his own boogers, and that's John Heder. Not that he actually eats them, but in the movie he eats his own boogers. That is the Benchwarmers. So I told you that's stupid baseball. You thought it was what?
The Underdogs, but I think that's a similar movie. So.
I don't remember that. I remember that one, but I'd have to look that up again. But yeah, so basically Rob Schneider owns his own landscaping business, and I don't remember how he knows these two nerds, but David Spade and John Heder, I think they live together. And Nick Swartzen's in there. I don't know if there's really any great lines that you can quote from it. But it's kind of comical. You got kids. You might want to sit back and watch it. So basically the premise is, you know, Rob Schneider sees the, you know, monster Little League team, the really good team with the uniform and all that. And these, you know, three, you know, kind of essentially nerdy kids playing on the field, and they get kicked off. And the one kid whose dad is John Lovitz gets sat on and farted on in his face. And Rob Schneider thinks it's wrong and tries to stand up for them and then makes the whole team out of it. And, you know, he goes to John Lovett's house and they have a robot that makes any sandwich in the world. And that's really what stood out to me the most. I know. So you just said what you wanted and that robot made that sandwich for you. So can you imagine the possibilities?
Well, here's some storyline synopsis on IMDb. It says, three guys, all their lives have been living in the shadows of bullies and are determined not to take it anymore. Now they must train with the help of Mel, take on the most offensive and meanest youth baseball team.
Yeah, they had some a famous baseball player in there. I forgot who it was, though.
Reggie Jackson.
Oh, it was Reggie. I thought so.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I was biting off of my basketball. I didn't know if I was like combining those two.
So yeah, but you know, it's PG-13 for crude and suggestive humor and for language. So obviously, small children, you know, you want to be warned there. But it's just an hour and 20 minutes in running time. So it's not a long movie if you want to take a gander at it.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't horrible. It's definitely not as bad as Basketball. I know you like that one, but man, that movie was horrible.
Yeah,
so, but,
you know,
there are,
you know, as you go along, you know, like there are some other athletes in it. Bill Romanowski is in it. Sean Salisbury is in it as well. So.
Well, and there's the hot mom and the girlfriend. I forget who they're models.
Well, yeah,
I think
saw
that
Molly
actually,
Sims is in it.
Yeah.
So. Looking to see if there's
no, there was
any
actually,
other appearances.
I think the other.
Oh, Rachel Hunter, whose name in the movie, it's just a hot mother. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So.
that's what I was trying to get to, that I wasn't the one making it up. That was literally her casted character name. Obviously,
yeah. I don't know if they call it that. Dan is in it. So, you know, there are some, if you're a sports fan, there will be some others you'll recognize from the world of sports. So,
yeah, and John Lovitz and Reggie Jackson were in band together. And that's how they're friends.
So there you go. But yeah, so if you're, you know, you're interested, like I said, not, I've actually never seen it. I've never actually taken the time to watch it. Well,
I'm gonna try to squeeze in, and maybe you can help me out. Do we get Tubi TV for free, Big Jack, on Roku?
Yes.
Okay, because I found Slapshot, and I've never seen it.
Oh.
So I was hoping to get that one in this weekend.
Well, that would be nice. Yeah, that's a fantastic movie. So
hopefully
you will enjoy
that.
Well,
maybe
Remember, anything you've been
spending on the podcast, all you gotta do is go to the TuneIn.com.